I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in their chairs for a shape-up this week, our freelance journalist, Jimmy Israel. He's normally based in Cleveland, but he's visiting us in D.C. today. Nice to see you.
Nice to be seen.
Also here in our Washington, D.C. studio, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar from New York, Sports Illustrated reporter Pablo Torre. And in Austin, Texas, we have Mario Loyola. He's from National Review Magazine and the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Jimmy, take it.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey.
Wow. Super Mario. Loyola, what's up, man? P-Dog.
What's up?
I've got the whole family here. I feel like I should get together a picture of
Kool-Aid. Cook some chili.
Yeah, no, get together a picture of Kool-Aid. But speaking of Kool-Aid, last night I was watching a film. It was called The Road We've Traveled. Anyone else seen it? I'm talking about that new Obama, quote, documentary, unquote. It chronicles President Obama's time in office. Michelle, we got a clip, yeah?
Yes, we do. It is just a part of the 17-minute video. And it's got some Hollywood star power behind it. It was produced by Oscar-winning filmmaker Davis Guggenheim. People would remember him maybe from An Inconvenient Truth, or he did Waiting for Superman. I think he also did the campaign of video at the Democratic Convention in 2008.
So liberal propaganda is his thing.
I'm sorry. Was I finished? Narrated by Oscar-winning actor Tom Hanks. Here is a clip. Here it is.
So don't bet against the American worker. Don't bet against the American people. We are coming back.
Because of the tough choices the president made, the stage was set for a resurgent U.S. auto industry. And it wouldn't be the last time this president would face a crisis that others would rather avoid.
Did somebody strap you down and make you watch this, Jimmy? I mean, it's like it's a campaign ad. Excuse me, hello.
You know, I kept
regular people.
I kept waiting for Rob Reiner to reprise his role as Meathead and come in, with some kind of more liberal propaganda. But God bless Tom Hanks.
So conservative propaganda, okay, not liberal propaganda.
Forrest Gump is my dude. But, so I saw it, right? And it just is what it is. It's just liberal line dancing. All we need is Checkers. Checkers the dog to kind of jerk a tear from those of us that aren't drinking the Kool-Aid. But it's no surprises. Obama and his people, his crew, they're great at the scripted plea for reason. David Ogilvy, the ad exec, he'd be proud. A-Train.
Yes, sir.
Because it's an ad.
Well, duh, but Coke is it, and so is Obama.
Here? Okay.
But Arsalan, A-Train, you've been an Obama fan from the start. Did you like what you saw?
I did, and before I get into it, I'm going to trade my Kool-Aid for the Haterade that you've been drinking this morning.
Okay.
First of all,
I'll take a sip.
Yeah, I know. I'll listen to anything that Tom Hanks is voicing over, Toy Story, Forrest Gump, Bosom Buddies. But, I think it was really interesting that in this 17-minute documentary, it hit upon all the major accomplishments of the Obama administration, from passing health care legislation to taking out Osama bin Laden in Pakistan to, the Affordable Care Act, all the things that, are not getting highlighted, obviously, in the Republican presidential primaries. I think, I would have made it a little shorter than 17 minutes to make it more sort of YouTube palatable for our, general society's 5-minute attention span.
Right.
But overall, I think it was a well-made video.
He should have did the Dougie. That way it would have went even more viral. Super Mario, you're our conservative friend. I hear you've been hanging out at the South by Southwest Festival in Austin this week. Thanks for joining, because I know there's a lot of festivities down there. That's kind of a ground zero for young techies in the generation that President Obama would like to reach. Do you think this video will speak to them?
I think they're too busy to watch it right now.
Too busy or too hungover?
Yeah, well, they're too hungover right now, and in about an hour, they'll be too busy. But anyway, South by Southwest is great. Y'all should come down for it. Look, I'm saying y'all even.
Thank you, Mr. Romney.
I know, we'll all crash on your place.
Can we use the homeless Wi-Fi spot?
And we can
hunt grit in the wilderness. Okay, Pablo.
It's happening.
Oh, go ahead, man.
And South by, it's not, I haven't been attending South by. South by has been happening all around me. Like, you walk out of your house and it's 3,000 bands playing and 2,000 bands playing in 3 days. It's like every possible venue, every place that serves breakfast has shows booked all day long. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it.
All right. There's that. Pablo Torre,
Yeah, so
my man, you know, I know you've been watching hoops videos for Sports Illustrated, but what do you think of this particular video?
Yeah, it was not quite a slam dunk, if you'll excuse the pun off of your previous comment. I mean, for me, it was just the substance I didn't even disagree with. It was just the presentation made me kind of, made my skin crawl a little bit, you know, not because I disagreed with the overall message, but just because it was packaged in such a way that made it just feel like more propaganda, you know? And that's not something that's even against Obama personally. It's just anytime you try to package something in the documentary kind of style, I feel like that just creates this cognitive dissonance for somebody who knows that it's more of an infomercial.
Right.
And I sort of kept on thinking about that more than I thought about the actual message. I was just thinking about what it was like to listen to a documentary as if the Obama campaign was controlling it. Mm. At no point was I like, oh my God, what a great interview. They got Barack and Michelle Obama? Like, geez. No, I was wondering, you know, what's the, where are the strings, you know, from the ceiling that they were sort of puppeteering?
So I'm just think that's I'm just glad
funny,
it wasn't
though,
just
because
me.
Here's the thing. The reason why I find this very funny is that I think that this is something you have to go look at. You have to go and seek it out. So all this grinching about what it is or supposed to be, you went and looked at it. I mean, so it's
right.
Not like, this is not like the old days where like music videos were just kind of there and it's like you turned on MTV or MTV1. And whatever they said
right.
is what you are going to watch. This is why I think all of the other conversations about, you know, censoring music videos and so forth, these days you have to go find it. So quit your beefing if you don't want to look at it. I just think it's funny. And also the idea that it's a documentary. It's... Who said it was a documentary? It's a campaign ad by the campaign.
It felt like a documentary.
Yeah,
it was shot like a documentary, though.
Like, yeah, but so what? That's
the
style these days.
They should have thrown a George Foreman grill in there just for a good measure. Super Mario,
that's the style.
Did you have anything to add?
Yeah, I was going to say that this is a, I mean, I think it's a good inspirational, it's very interesting because it's clearly aimed at the base. It's not trying to convince independents or people on the other side. It's trying to convince, you know, the people who think that it's great that we have the world's highest corporate tax rates and that we have crushing regulations on business and that we have high gas prices like approaching those in Europe. I mean, there are people who think that's great.
The Republican National Committee has mocked it. They put up movie posters that renamed the video The Road We've Traveled Wasn't Shovel Ready and It Wasn't Even Paid For. It says it's not starring 13 million unemployed Americans, 3 record deficits, and a coherent energy policy. So to me, it seems like that's the way to go. If you want to attack it, then be funny about it. That seems to me the right approach if you want to criticize it rather than being like, oh, it doesn't meet my...
But it's interesting how much
filmmaking.
No, but it's interesting.
Michelle, is that
it's interesting
is that
the president
impersonation?
You should see the face that goes with the impression.
All right, so let's talk about. So let's pick on the GOP for a minute. They fight heads to Missouri tomorrow. You wanted to talk about that, Jimmy?
Well, yeah.
What about Rick Santorum? What's he doing?
Oh, he's on his way to Puerto Rico on Sunday, and while Rick Santorum is coming off wins in Alabama and Mississippi, he may have stepped in it with the folks in the Isle of Enchantment. Now, while visiting Puerto Rico, the former Pennsylvania senator told local news organizations that if Puerto Rico wins statehood, it should make English the main language. Way to win over friends and influence people. Michelle, we got some sound,
right. Yeah? And this is what he said. So you can judge for yourself.
Mm.
And it's a little hard to understand, but I think you can understand it. So here it is.
It's a condition for entering the union if you're going to participate in, as a state in the United States, then... You need to participate in the language of the people speak in the States.
Wow. He sounds like he's trans. I'm just my mind is blown that he would even go there. You know, Mario Loyola, now you're from Puerto Rico. So weigh in on this first. What do you think about his comments? Will it cost him votes on Sunday?
Yeah, I think that it certainly will cost him votes. And I think it goes to a very philosophical question. I mean, can the United States be a multinational union, or does it have to be a single national nation state? Because I'll tell you one thing. I mean, Puerto Rico, you know, and you could probably say I'm as conservative as they come, and I'm very patriotic.
Noted.
You know, you know, American and everything, but I'm also a patriotic Puerto Rican, and from my point of view, Puerto Rico is a country, and the fact that, you know, I look at it from the point of view of the rest of Latin America. How does the rest of Latin America, how do people in Colombia view Puerto Rico? And when you look at it from that point of view, you realize that, you know, the fact that the United States happens to control Puerto Rico now is really sort of irrelevant. Nothing can change the fact that Puerto Rico is a Latin American country. It's a major Latin American country. It's not just a Latin American country. I mean, Panama has one major salsa star. Puerto Rico has like 20. And you know, Puerto Rico is a major driving force in Latin American music. The culture is completely Hispanic. The food is completely Hispanic. And you know, if you admit a country as a state of the United States, you're making a real change, you know, and that's something that people have to think about.
You know, there's a referendum on the island's political status on November 6th where statehood, independence, and no change in status are the three options. But, you know, the current governor, Luis Fortuño, who's Republican, is embracing statehood. So, Arsalan, you wanted to get in this?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's several reasons why, you know, Santorum should offer our Boricuan friends an apology. First, he said that this
was... You think he should offer an apology?
Yeah, because he said...
Why should he apologize for something he believes is true?
Because he said that this was a condition for entering the union, which is factually incorrect. There's no part of federal law that says that in order to become a state, you have to speak English. I mean, this is part of the rhetoric that's been going on in the Republican Party. Let's not forget when Newt Gingrich infamously said that Spanish was the language of the ghetto, whereas English is the language of prosperity. And, you know, as Stephen Colbert said, it takes some serious cojones to go into Puerto Rico to tell them to stop saying cojones.
Right.
I don't think we need to use Spanish vulgarities on the air, by the way. But I'll say this thing. Don't you think, Arsalan, that speaking English should be a condition of admitting a state into the union? Or do you think that we can just admit, like, Iran as a state into the union? I mean, what are our standards of what makes someone sort of eligible to join the union? Isn't any cultural factor relevant there?
Not when it's not a part of federal law already. If you're going to misstate, you know, something as federal law or as part of the Constitution, you should probably retroactively fail ninth grade civics class.
So do you want to admit, like, all of Latin America as states of the union?
I don't care, really. I'm just saying if they want to, you know, pass a referendum, you know, advocating for statehood, that's their business. And I'm just saying that if somebody's running for president, they should have a good understanding of American law.
Well, just before we clarify, because I'm not sure everybody knows that Puerto Rico is already a U.S. Commonwealth and its residents are already U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, just to make sure that people understand this.
That's right.
So, all right. But if you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the round table, to the barbershop, with freelance journalist Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, columnist Mario Loyola, Sports Illustrated reporter Pablo Torre. Before we move on to sports, though, Pablo, we haven't forgotten about you. You know that GOP candidate Mitt Romney is also getting some attention when he told a Missouri television station that he would, quote, get rid of, unquote, Planned Parenthood to balance the budget. Later, his campaign clarified that Romney didn't mean he would eliminate the organization altogether, just its federal funding. I don't know how you can eliminate a private organization, but, you know, I don't know. Does anybody think? I'm surprised that this hasn't gotten a little bit more attention. I don't know. Mario, what do you think? It's just sort of drowned out in the overall noise of the primary, that people are kind of charged, countercharged. They're over it.
Yeah, I think that I can't wait for the Republicans to elect a candidate and get into the election.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't take Romney seriously. He needs a new set of batteries. You know, I don't buy him. He's like a right wing Al Gore with a better haircut. You know,
but
he
could be the nominee. So how can you not take him seriously?
I won't take him seriously once he's in. I mean, I said a couple weeks ago that we're really just trying to figure out who's going to take the hit for the Republican Party. You know, this is the ugliest race the GOP has put forth in quite a while. You know, there's no winner. There's no winner here. I'm sorry.
You'll notice the Obama video made one reference to a Republican candidate, and that was Mitt Romney.
Yeah,
Rick Santorum, sadly, was not name-checked. In
so basically, we're trying to figure out the guy who's going to get into the dunk tank. Basically, is it going to be you or is it going to be me? You know, but you're going down. We all know you're going down.
Okay. You're getting wet.
You know? All right. We'll just jump right back into March Madness. Pablo, you're our sports guy. Dare we throw out our picks for the final bracket, Pablo?
Yeah, I mean, I have in the final four, I guess. I have Kentucky, I have Michigan State, I have Ohio State, and I pick coaches over players when it comes to the final game. Just because college basketball, for better and for worse, we're not paying any of them. It's about the coaches who get paid and are the institutions who survive year after year. So Michigan State is my incredibly, incredibly foolhardy pick.
Okay, Arsalan, what about you?
Well, you know, for those of the sports junkies out there, you know, if Jim Boeheim's cousins weren't refereeing the game, we would have seen history when number 16 UNC Asheville would have beaten Syracuse. Mm-hmm. But my final four is going to be Kentucky, Kansas, and Ohio State. And my wife's from Kentucky, so she'll kill me if I don't pick him to go all the way.
As good a reason as any to pick.
Exactly.
I know, right?
Jimmy, you got to pick.
Well, you know, my beloved Cleveland Vikings, they got knocked out a few days ago. Stanford took them out the game. So Cleveland State Vikings, what's up? But, you know, I'm from Ohio. I gotta roll with Old State for to take the whole pie. That's my whole thing. So, all right, Super Mario, you want to check in?
I think the man's trying to get back to his film festival. I don't think he's really even feeling this at all. He's like, how long do I have to sit here with these people until I can go back to my festival?
Right, exactly. It's like right next door. No, you know, I'm just counting the days until the Packers season opener. So,
and there's that, yeah.
Still in mourning about my Knicks falling apart.
We'll talk about this off the record venting.
Whole barbershop segment on it.
I don't know how off the record it's been. I've been pretty on the record of it. The New York Knicks coach was, you know, first we had that great run with Lynn Sanity, and then he powered a run of wins for the team. And now the star Carmelo Anthony is back from an injury, and then the coach is gone. You know, Pablo, you were just saying that, you know, in college it's all about the coach. Well, not in the pros.
Leave it to the Knicks, you know, to get the best sports story maybe ever, and then just completely let it fall apart and disintegrate like this. It's amazing how much goodwill. I mean, you talk about in New York how you feel it when the Knicks are good. You feel basketball in the city. But when it's bad, it's equally as depressing. And that's where we are right now in Manhattan.
And then to add insult to injury, you remember Jeremy Lin, who I claim, even though I am not Asian American, because he went to Harvard as did I played hoops for Harvard. And of course, Harvard gets eliminated from the NCAA. It's the first time they've made it into the 64 since like 1946. So, okay, it's bad week for Michelle. That's all I'm saying about that. So,
Jimmy, the Jets are looking good.
goodbye. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist and presidential fellow at Case Western Reserve University. Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney, founder of themuslimguide.com, and author of Islamic Pacifism, Global Muslims in the Post-Osama Era. Jimmy and Arsalan were here in D.C. Pablo Torre is a reporter for Sports Illustrated. He joined us from our NPR studios in New York. And Mario Loyola is director of the Center for 10th Amendment Studies at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. That's a think tank focused on the impact of federal policy on states. Also a columnist for National Review. He was with us from Austin, if he hasn't left already, to go back to South by Southwest. Thank you, everybody.
Peace. Thank you.
Ciao, ciao.
Yep, yep.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more on Monday.